The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Bailey's Produce and Nursery.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
Hi, this is Mary Hoxing. Merry Christmas, Pensacola. As we gather with family and friends this Christmas season, may your hearts be filled with joy and your homes with laughter. Wishing you all peace, love, and warmth from our family to yours. Merry Christmas.
Hi, I'm Front Desk Tina, and I'm wishing you and yours a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
According to the final section of the statement, unlawful speech that poses a true threat to the community may be restricted, but is implied that, generally, all other expressions should be allowed, including disfavored speech. Discussions within previous board meetings, however, indicate that leadership at the school may have a different perspective of this. At the board meeting on May 8th of this year, controversy arose surrounding the university's sponsorship of a 2019 drag show, with one trustee in particular expressing that they believed such a situation goes against university policy due to the potential of some community members possibly feeling uncomfortable in response to it. But does this free expression statement not protect such expression, even when it is disfavored by some? Surely a simple drag show neither defames nor threatens any person at this university, especially when attendance of such an event is not mandatory, just as I may choose not to attend a sermon for a religion to which I do not belong.
Okay, first thing, this is at the UWF Board of Trustees meeting from last month, and it is not about the Pensacola drag show, although she is in part referring to things that Trustee Zach Smith, who is on both the UWF and the PSC boards, has mentioned related to drag shows. Remember, he brought this up with a question to Martha Saunders when she was the president as part of his orchestrated move to get rid of her. And then, you know, he has been one of the key agitators around the protest against the Pensacola drag show at the Sanger Theater. The Christmas one that's going to come up 2 days before Christmas. Damani Turner Ward, by the way, I just want to say this. Not a lot of people participate in the UWF Board of Trustees meetings. I mean, not very many people watch them or listen to them. This is one of the new things I have taken up ever since all of the hubbub around getting rid of Martha Saunders took place. I now listen to them, and I'm more of a listener rather than a watcher. I'll record and listen to it, but because I had so much free time that I thought, well, let's add another set of meetings to my life. They're useful. They're interesting. You learn a lot of stuff. We talked last hour about some of the capital projects that the university is working on, three big projects. But Damani Turner Ward is a student, and I want to give her credit. You know, she's very smart, clearly. She's got interesting points to make. I don't necessarily always agree with her, but I really want to celebrate her as pretty much the only student from UWF that routinely participates in these meetings and offers her opinion. And good for her. I mean, God, when I was a student at the University of Illinois, I mean, I wasn't going to Board of Trustees. I couldn't have told you there was a Board of Trustees. And she's actually going, and because, you know, the policies that they're talking about. In this case, there were significant revisions being proposed, and they were passed, of course. The revisions having to do with the codes of conduct for the university, having to do with things like hazing, having to do with definitions of sexual harassment, and having to do with free expression. And what she was referring to is one portion of the free expression statement that says, each member of our campus communities must also recognize that institutions may restrict unlawful expression such as true threats or defamation. Now, clearly, true threats and defamation can be restricted. Typically, they're restricted after the fact. This is a concept in constitutional law they call prior restraint. Prior restraint is to prohibit the speech before it happens. You know, you shall not publish that newspaper, you shall not air that broadcast. It's prior restraint. You published that article or you aired that broadcast, and now we're going to sue you. That's where you would come in with a case like a defamation case. Anyway, a lot of the statement is very good. Okay, the State University System of Florida and its 12 public post-secondary institutions adopt this statement on free expression to support and encourage a full and open discourse and the robust exchange of ideas and perspectives on our respective campuses. It's many uses of respective in one sentence. But the principle of free speech and freedom of expression in the United States and Florida Constitution, in addition to being legal rights, are an integral part of our three-part university mission to deliver high-quality academic experience for our students, engage in meaningful and productive research, and provide valuable public service for the benefit of our local communities in the state. By the way, if you think I read fast, you should have been on, level two policy debate back when I was in high school. Oh, God. We did not debate that way. I was not the fast-talking debaters. I just get bored reading stuff out loud. But essentially, this statement says, our purpose is to provide an opportunity for you to express yourself, to engage in free speech, to debate difficult things, divergent ideas, opinions, and philosophies, quoting from it, new and old, rigorously debated and critically evaluated. All good. That's all great. It is equally important not to stifle the dissemination of any ideas, even if other members of our community may find those ideas abhorrent. Right. Exactly. I mean, that's literally the purpose of the First Amendment. It is especially appropriate on a college campus where the college campus is supposed to be the, the brew spot for all of the weirdness, in the world that you want to consider in a kind of a safe environment. You don't have to actually test it out by, say, running New York City. sorry, couldn't resist. Anyway, individuals wishing to express ideas with which others may disagree must be free to do so without fear of being bullied, threatened, or silenced. Yes. This does not mean that such ideas should go unchallenged, as this is part of the learning process. Yes. And though we believe all members of our campus communities have a role to play in promoting civility and mutual respect in that type of discourse, we must not let concerns over civility or respect be used as a reason to silence expression. Think back to the conversations about the Sanger Theater drag show and how people have said this is disrespectful to us or Christianity or offensive to us and all of that. That cannot be a reason for censoring people. That cannot be a reason for violating their speech rights. They go on, we should empower and enable one another to speak and listen rather than interfere with or silence the open expression of ideas. Okay, all good. The part she's addressing is the last paragraph, each member of our campus communities must also recognize institutions may restrict unlawful expression, such as true threats or defamation. And it goes on and says time, manner, place restrictions. That's appropriate as well. That's boilerplate constitutional law stuff. So she's going to raise questions about this policy, and we'll come back to this in a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Thanks, Andrew. The front gate of NA's Pensacola backed up to Central Avenue. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Thank you so much, sir. Okay, so Damani Turner Ward is raising the question about what exactly does this mean? We're concerned about our ability to freely express our views and our opinions, particularly through, for example, a student-led drag show if we want to. Which should be clear 1A protected speech, right? Unless it becomes obscenity, in which case it's not, but that's a pretty fine line. Anyway, and she says, I know she didn't name Zach Smith, but she's obviously talking about him, that Zach Smith has expressed hostility towards that event that took place on campus and towards the event that's scheduled for the Sanger, and we are worried about what new test might be applied to us as students that this code of conduct, kind of shoehorns in at the last minute in the last paragraph. She also says,
it has also come to my attention that a new question has been added to the form one must fill out to reserve a room on campus. This required drop-down menu requires one to disclose whether their event includes any of the following topics: gender equality, politics, race, or religion. Why is this question necessary? Will student organizations be prevented from holding on-campus events in which members may express a variety of ideas on what could be deemed divisive topics?
Right, fair question. Why are you asking us to say this now in a pre-application for the use of a facility? That seems like a weird thing.
To me, this seems to run directly against the spirit of the free expression statement, and I would like reassurance that such conditions will not arise at this university. I would deeply appreciate further clarification on this policy so that students such as myself can know what conduct to expect of ourselves and of this board.
Fair question. Now, she does not get an answer from Zach Smith. which I was disappointed, but I've come to expect that. She did get an answer of sorts from Adam Kissel and from other folks on the board. And so when they came back to this a little bit later, under the part of the issue was that they were wanting to get a sort of green light approval stamp from FIRE, the Freedom, oh, I forget what FIRE stands for, but it's the Freedom of Expression Organization on Higher Education. It's Adam Kissel, the big advocate of that. By the way, this is a good example of, I told you from the beginning that Adam Kissel, even though he has been one of the more controversial appointees by DeSantis, I think he's a very good appointee. Zach Smith, who was not nearly as controversial in the offing, has become the real problem. And is really a problem on both boards. But Adam Kissel is a great addition to the UWF board.
What you're looking at today represents the culmination of about 11 months worth of work and discussion. I think that the recommended changes, which some of which got initiated by me on my first day as a trustee, will enable us to get, I think, a green light from FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, which would put us in a very small company of excellent universities that have been able to fully meet First Amendment protection, state and federal. So thank you for getting to this point.
Yeah, he is passionate about free speech. That's part of the reason I like him so much is, and he wants to get this FIRE certification that is a way of saying UWF is a definite double thumbs up for a place where you can freely engage in the discussion of ideas. Now, since Zach Smith did not respond to Damani Turner Ward, Lonzi Scott, who is one of the holdovers from before DeSantis started shoehorning his people in onto this board, and I, you know, I don't always agree with Lonzi, but I like the fact that he's going to represent the contrary idea. And he says, can we not address her answer? Can we not address the concern that she's got?
Thank you, Trustee Smith. I'm concerned about the comment I heard from the guest that we had today, who public comment. Do you think this, and this is for this board to think about, does this policy prevent a student from, for instance, in one of their student organizations, deciding that they want to run whatever kind of event they want from a free speech standpoint? Does it prevent them from doing that? And will the university be rejecting those students if they try to create a drag event, for an example? Not that that's my preference, but it is their preference to do what they choose.
Right. You don't have to support anything to believe that it is other people's right to practice that thing or to do that thing or to express that thing.
And I'd like to find out what the chair thinks of that. And also, Trustee Kissel, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that as well, because as you both have indicated, this FIRE policy is a big deal in universities. But if we prevent people from doing the things that we had people complain about on this board, then we're basically creating a policy that does not meet the requirements of open and transparent communications by our student body.
Right. 100% agreed. Zach Smith passes.
Okay. Thank you, Trustee Scott. Next, I saw Trustee Bennett's hand.
Even though he was asking Zach Smith to comment, he did not. But Adam Kissel does comment, and I'm glad he did.
Thank you. I wanted to respond to Trustee Scott's good question. In my testimony in front of one of the Senate committees earlier this year, I said drag shows are First Amendment protected expression. A student organization that wants to hold one, if it's not breaking any of the traditional exceptions to free speech, it has every right to express itself as its own speech. None of that would count if it's a student organization as the speech of the government or the speech of the university.
Right.
So the organization would be allowed to do that and have equal rights to express itself with all other content and viewpoint at the university. I think the student code of conduct is probably better than it was even in being able to allow that kind of speech.
See, you remember when all the sort of local liberals, not that I disagree with them necessarily, but they were all up in arms over Adam Kissel. And I tried to tell you, he's the good guy. Here's Adam Kissel specifically saying, yes, of course, drag show, First Amendment, protected by students, no problem. And this would not prohibit that. I assure you. He's not the problem on the board. In fact, he's a real source of good things on this board. Lonzi Scott, in response.
Thank you, Trustee Smith and Trustee Kissel. Thank you for the insight and perspective. I'm much more comfortable after I heard Dr. Rydell and Trustee Bennett speak about this topic, because I know it's one that's been blowing up my email quite a bit, and I feel comfortable that we are probably going to be on a good path. So thank you all for your insight and perspectives and your hard work.
And that reassured me too, because I know Lonzi's got all the right interests for the university, and I know, you know, his heart is good, and I know his experience is good. And if he says, you know, based on what he's read and thought about and heard from them say it, that he's reassured, and I was too. So good. I mean, this passes unanimously, and that's fine. Adam Kissel came back to this and explained even a little bit more, just to make sure that the point was clear.
I'm very thrilled that the state of Florida and SUS have been working on free expression so much. I think what we see on paper should not be a mere parchment promise, as they say, but needs to have real teeth for us as enforcers of a culture of free speech, as well as respect and civility. But what's very important to me that we distinguish and understand that what we can encourage or discourage as civil discourse is not identical to what we must or must not punish as free speech. So
that's such an important point. We can encourage civil discourse and promote and, you know, scold / praise good and bad examples, or bad and good examples, to keep it parallel. But punishing mean, obnoxious, uncivil, offensive speech, we must not do that. That is exactly right. The university is entirely within its power to say what they like and do not like in the way students conduct themselves. It is entirely in dangerous territory when it starts actually applying sanctions against people for the way they speak, the things they say when they speak, unless it crosses the line into genuine obscenity, true threats, or defamation. He's exactly right about this.
So I think it's important, especially for the senior administration, to be able to think about when there is uncivil or incivil speech, which you might even include a drag show in that category of protected speech that might be perceived as uncivil by many in the community, that it's the kind of thing that can be encouraged or discouraged, but not punished. And it's very important to us to not have legal or reputational liability by getting that distinction incorrect.
Amen. I mean, exactly. So they did pass this, I think, unanimously. If I was listening, it's sometimes hard to tell when you're just listening to the meeting, but I believe they passed it unanimously. So I think this is a good thing. I am very concerned that Trustee Smith is not committed to these principles in the same way that Adam Kissel is, based on things he has said, things he has done, what he has done in orchestrating the protests against the drag show, Christmas, and other issues as well. But time will tell. Time will tell. On paper, it's good, and I appreciate that. Adam Kissel says, you know, we must not merely protect these things on paper. We must protect them in reality, too. So good news, basically, out of UWF. 625 on News Radio 92.3. We got PJ with Traffic on the Fives.
The front gate of NAS Pensacola is still backed up to Central Avenue. I'm PJ with your Traffic on the Fives.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in today at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
That's my timer letting me know that it's time to check the Slow Smoke Barbecue at Sonny's. It's also a reminder that it's time to book your holiday party or catering. We love to serve your business or organization a delicious prime rib to celebrate all your hard work with catering from our four locations serving the greater Pensacola area. We also have banquet rooms at our Navy Boulevard and 9th Avenue locations. And speaking of the holidays, give the gift of barbecue and a convenience of a gift card. Sweet and smoky ribs sure do make a mess of those Christmas stockings. Go to sonnysbarbecue.com to find your nearest location and all the details on our holiday catering services.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
ADX Communications isn't just a company name. It's a home to four great radio stations and the area's most robust digital platform. And we're proud of the successes our local business partners have had, trusting our years of marketing experience.
This is Philip Warren with the law firm Taylor Warren Widener Hancock & Barnes. When we need to get a message out to our community, we rely on our friends at ADX Communications. They are clear, reliable, and effective.
Hey, I'm Jonathan Cook, owner of Jonathan's Construction Flooring. I enjoy working with the great team with this radio station. Dependable, local, professional, result-driven ADX Communications.
To have your business become part of our success story, no matter if it's Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola's Playlist 94.5, or the area's most robust digital platform, call us today. 850-262-6000. That's 850-262-6000. And let ADX go to work for you.
Hi, this is Andrew McKay, and I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho. It's...
And if the elevator tries to break you down, go crazy.
Every once in a while when I cut one of these drops, I always wonder, will people really get it? But as soon as I played that, it's... I saw PJ's eyes light up, and I thought, oh, he's a Monty Python fan. I love it.
That's right.
6:29 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. A Buddhist monk is recovering from surgery after being hit by a van in Dayton, Texas 2 weeks ago.
You do this to yourself. This is self-inflicted. I have no sympathy for you. You chose the Tibetan monk story.
I did choose the monk story. Mr. Famasan underwent a successful leg amputation Wednesday. He was one of 24 monks participating in a cross-country walk for peace when that accident happened. They were apparently walking on U.S. 90 when a truck rear-ended their escort van that knocked it into the group of monks. The Pentagon deploying its first squadron of suicide drones to the Middle East. Mm-hmm. The attack drones cost about $35,000 to make. They were reportedly reverse engineered from a captured Iranian drone. The U.S. Central Command says the new drone was formed after Pete Hegseth ordered the acceleration of low-cost drone development.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of different competitors, and there's kind of like a tier one, tier two, tier three. You know, as they go through the process, the cost is supposed to come down. But this is all part of that million drone initiative, I think. This is all part of that million drone initiative that the United States military is engaged in. But yeah, the deployment of the suicide drones to the Middle East is sort of, you know, phase one of this, what they're calling Lucas's low-cost unmanned combat attack systems.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. The admiral who ordered a controversial second military strike on survivors from an alleged drug boat expected to testify before Congress today.
The September 2nd strike was the first of more than 20 attacks on alleged drug smuggling boats over the past 3 months. War Secretary Pete Hegseth says he saw that first strike live, but was not informed of the follow-on strike until hours later that killed the initial two survivors.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson, the House and Senate Armed Services Committees are investigating the incident and whether that second strike was a war crime. Today marks 1 year since UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson was gunned down in Manhattan. Luigi Mangione is expected in court for day three of his pretrial hearing in the case.
So the attorneys for Luigi Mangione trying to challenge the evidence against him inside this courthouse behind me later today.
It's Fox's Chanley Painter. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 47 degrees right now with a little bit of rain across the area. And we'll get to our forecast in just a few minutes with meteorologist Brooke Richardson and Channel 3. Governor DeSantis says Tuesday's special congressional race in Tennessee needs to be a wake-up for Republicans. The GOP did win the seat, but by less than expected. In a district Trump carried by more than 20 points, DeSantis says it reflects a turnout challenge.
Based off the House's performance, you know, in 25, you know, would they keep the supermajority if the election were today? No, I don't think they would.
And Governor DeSantis says midterms historically favor the party that's not in the White House. And he says without a presidential candidate on the ballot, Republicans need to work harder to motivate voters. He says the trend could threaten the GOP's supermajority in the Florida House next year. Well, a 64-year-old adventurer just crossed into Florida on his journey from Minnesota all the way to Key West. Tim Hickel retired from the construction industry back in May and started walking from north to south in June. He's now traveled over 2,700 miles in just over 180 days and has about 900 miles left to go. Hickel got to north of Escambia County this week and is slowly making his way down the state, stopping at boat ramps and fire stations along the way. He's hoping to reach Key West by the end of February. He said one of the best parts of his journey is having conversations with people he meets while he's walking. Now, the town of Century has reversed course on a controversial rental rate hike for its community center. Their council dropped the rental fee from $500 to $350 after receiving complaints about declining usage. The fee hike had threatened the future of the annual Martin Luther King Jr. ceremony held by the Century Flomaton Improvement Association. The council voted to waive the rental fee entirely for that MLK Day event, although renters still have to pay a $150 refundable deposit. Events with more than 75 attendees require security. The council says it will consider other rental waivers for nonprofits and government agencies, and that will be considered on a case-by-case basis. Well, the Dolly Parton Imagination Library has now mailed more than 2 million books to kids in Alabama. Governor Kay Ivey calling that a major literacy milestone for kids across the state of Alabama. Now, that partnership began back in 2023. It's made age-appropriate books available for free in all 67 Alabama counties. The books were delivered to kids from birth through age 5. And it is 6:34. Let's get a check on our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We do have a wet day in store for you today with those showers starting this morning, lasting through the afternoon and in the evening. 100% chance of that rain with a high near 53 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures staying very mild in the 50s. Going into Friday, we will have clouds and those showers continuing. 90% chance of rain, high near 63. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 54. Keeping your rain chances high on Saturday, 80% chance of rain, high near 60 degrees. And by Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 48. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Yeah, thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got still some rain falling. It looks like 46 degrees across the area. And let's get a check now on our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Traffic is brought to you by Gulf Breeze Natural Gas, serving Gulf Breeze and Pensacola Beach. Your holiday style, your holiday comfort, your energy, GulfBreezeNaturalGas.com. The front gate of NAS Pensacola backed up to Interbay. There's also a vehicle crash East 9 Mile at North Davis Highway. They're saying the roadway is open. Also a vehicle crash Community Drive at Ferris in Pensacola. There's a roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. 46, rainy. It's 6:35. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or birdseed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
A new exclusive offer with an eligible Bank of America Visa credit card is your opportunity to go from cardholder to ticket holder for the FIFA World Cup 2026. For a limited time, when you're approved for a new customized cash rewards or unlimited cash rewards Visa credit card, you're eligible for a chance to purchase FIFA World Cup 2026 tickets. Learn more today at bofa.com/cardfwc26. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, proud to be the official bank of FIFA World Cup 2026. Bank of America N.A. in partnership with Visa. Terms apply. All rights reserved.
This is Cena Madison from Southern Media, wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year.
Hey, this is Terrence A. Gross, wishing you a happy holidays. And remember this, do not drink and drive. This is Sheila Nichols with Pensacola State College, wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year.
This is Matt Coughlin from Pensacola International Airport, wishing you happy holidays to you and your family from ours.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
Hi, this is Mary Hoxing. Merry Christmas, Pensacola. As we gather with family and friends this Christmas season, may your hearts be filled with joy and your homes with laughter. Wishing you all peace, love, and warmth from our family to yours. Merry Christmas.
Hi, I'm Front Desk Tina, and I'm wishing you and yours a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Ho, ho.
Good morning. The Natural Resources and Disaster Subcommittee will now come to order. Next up, folks, we'll have HB 11, Designation of Florida of the State Bird by Representative Mooney and LaMarca.
There's nothing the average person looks forward to more than getting up on a random Wednesday and watching the Florida House Subcommittee on Natural Resources and Disasters. Am I right, people? Am I right? It's like the number one thing you ask Santa for, right, is can I have a hard copy of the DVD of all of the meetings of the Tallahassee, Florida House Subcommittee on, forget it, anyway. So this is about the state bird. Every time there's a legislative meeting, there's always some fight about the state bird, and this year is no less true. That is no less true this year. Jim Mooney, Representative Jim Mooney.
So HB 11 is a long time in the making, as we all know. It's been 3 years I've been trying to change the state bird. Mockingbird also represents five other states, so it's time for Florida to have a new state bird. We obviously know where flamingos are everywhere in every airport, they're in the lottery tickets, they're everywhere. But more importantly, the flamingo also represents a milestone in restoration of the Everglades and restoration of Indian River Lagoon, Bonita Springs area. You walk through the halls here, flamingos are everywhere.
And the flamingo is part of it, and then they want to get rid of the scrub jay, and they want to add the mockingbird as the state songbird. So it's a two-part bill. Chip LaMarca, the co-presenter of the bill at the subcommittee.
Well, representing Broward County, I have to invite you all when you come down to go to Flamingo Gardens. It's one of the most amazing collections of these amazing birds. I just didn't want Representative Mooney flying solo on this, so I decided to join him. And with that, I think we all ask for your support.
So it's been controversial in the past. Everybody's got their own idea about what the state bird should be. And interestingly, the controversy, to the degree that it was, that came up in this conversation came from our own state representative, Alex Andrade, who is in his last term as a state legislator. He'll be termed out after this coming year. And of course, he represents District 2, which is the southern portion of Escambia County. I mean, the most southern portion and the southern portion of Santa Rosa County as well. All the beaches, basically, in the city of Pensacola. So Alex says,
Representative Mooney, where are flamingos primarily found in the state of Florida?
Primarily in the Indian River Lagoon area, Merritt Island area, Bonita Springs area, and South Florida, as well as St. Mark's up here. Follow and up. The Tampa Bay area as well.
Representative LaMarca, where are scrub jays primarily found in Florida?
Central Florida, Lakeland area, I believe.
And since Alex is from here, he says,
Gentlemen, it doesn't sound like either of these two birds that you want to represent the entire state are found in my neck of the woods in the Panhandle. However, the mockingbirds are. I hear their sweet songs most mornings. What is it that you have against the Panhandle?
What is it you have against the Panhandle?
What is it that you have against the Panhandle?
You're recognized, sir.
That's a good question, Rep. Nothing against the Panhandle. And actually, they are up here. They're in the St. Mark's area as well. And actually, go all the way up as far as Wisconsin sometimes in the summer. So they're...
Oh, no, no, he says Tallahassee.
I can't help but be a little bit offended that you consider Tallahassee part of the Panhandle. you understand the state's turns, Representative Mooney. I was just curious about...
That was a pretty unsubtle dig, by the way. I can't help but feel offended that you think Tallahassee is part of the panhandle and that maybe you don't understand the state's terms.
I can't help but be a little bit offended that you consider Tallahassee part of the panhandle. You understand the state's terms, Representative Mooney.
Maybe it's turns. My fault.
You know, what the panhandle portion of the state gets out of this change if we do actually make this change.
Well, you know, you get the lottery ticket for sure. That has a flamingo on it.
That's so condescending. You don't have flamingos, but at least you get the lottery ticket.
So you can pie that across the state. But realistically,
I think he had no idea he was going to get challenged on this. And he's trying to come up with something because he thinks it's so obvious it should be the flamingo. And, you know, Alex is like, where's the flamingo from? Is that from the panhandle? Do you even know what the panhandle is? I don't have flamingos in my district. We have, you know, the Scrub Jays, you know, which is the current one, right? So what's the problem?
What do you get out of it?
The Mockingbird now. You know, they're wanting to make Scrub Jay.
What do you get out of it? You get something that means something. The flamingo means something to the state of Florida. It has been always. If you ask people around the state of Florida, what's the state bird? Very few people ever say the mockingbird, ever. They'll say the flamingo. They might say a pelican, but reality of it is the flamingo represents Florida. It always has since I was a kid, and I was a kid a very long time ago, by the way. So I'm comfortable with the state bird being the flamingo and the songbird being the scrub jay.
Still not answering the question about the panhandle, though. By the way, I think some people might suggest that the state bird, if you ask them, is not the flamingo or the pelican or the mockingbird or the scrub jay. It's a different bird entirely, the kind you might see while driving. or perhaps you might say the kind that would be, I don't know, pointing towards the birds, that might be the state bird of Florida.
You did mention the pelican. The pelican is regularly found in the panhandle. Would you consider an amendment to add the pelican as a co-official state bird?
Interesting.
Chair.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. No. Respectfully, no.
Not respectfully when you laugh. You know, the pelican makes a lot more sense, especially for us. How cool would it be? I'm kind of into this idea of making the pelican the state bird. We'll come back to this in a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Traffic's brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping has joined Russell Landscape Group, combining trusted local service with regional strength to deliver exceptional landscape construction and maintenance. 770-446-3552. The front gate of NES Pensacola now backed up to Sunset. There's also a vehicle crash east 9 Mile at North Davis Highway. They're saying the roadway's open. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. I mean, you can have bird watching in all kinds of circumstances.
Greetings. Watch the birdie.
It doesn't have to be on the ground. All right, sorry, I couldn't resist. Okay, so back to the conversation they're having in the Tallahassee legislature in, once again, the Subcommittee on Natural Resources and Disasters. And their full 16-minute meeting was dominated by this question of what the state bird should be. Monique Miller.
I love the fact that you're bringing forth the flamingo, and I want to make the flamingo the state bird of Florida more than anything. And as we discussed, and I appreciate that you took the time to talk to me about it, the scrub jay has just been commandeered to really violate property rights across Florida, and I just cannot allow it to be elevated to this level. And I wish these were decoupled because I want to make the flamingo your bird so badly.
So she's willing. Everybody seems to be willing. They just have sort of concerns, and hers is she doesn't want the scrub jay to be promoted because she views it as a detrimental bird. Alex Andrade says, you know, since we're talking about birds, I think maybe we can add pelican. If we're going to designate two, let's designate three.
I was conflicted about this bill, but I do intend on voting up on it today solely so I have the opportunity to file an amendment to name the pelican as the official Northwest fishing bird of the state of Florida. So I hope that the sponsors of this bill look out for that amendment either in the next committee or on the floor.
So he's going to offer an amendment to make the pelican the official fishing bird or the state fishing bird of Florida, which I think is interesting. Oh, I got a text in here. Somebody says, I think we should make the blue angels the state bird. They actually fly all over the state of Florida. And how could anyone say that seeing that bird doesn't make them proud? I see opportunity. You know, Alex, maybe he can bring a double amendment to this. Adam Anderson had probably the winning comment of the day.
Like many of us here, I always thought the flamingo was our state bird, actually, before I saw the bill analysis.
So I think you're just codifying what most Floridians think is accurate. I have one concern that I want to put on record, though. A quick Google search reveals that a group of flamingos is called the flamboyants. So I have a little bit of concern about that, but I'll be up on your bill.
It seems to run afoul of the, let's say, anti-rainbow kind of demeanor of the current administration to make a state bird the state bird when the group of that state bird is called a flamboyance. He missed the more obvious problem. Right there in the name, it says flaming. It's a flaming O. And they're pink! I mean, that could be the end of this proposal right there. Flaming pink O's that when they congregate are called flamboyances? I mean, you can make it the state bird, but I think FDOT's going to come in with black paint and fix that problem afterwards.
And to some, it's I know some are mocking this, but I think we're very serious about our habitat here, and we're very serious about our state bird. And
mocking
I'm privileged to be on this team with Rep Mooney. And hope
you needed a better joke for your clothes. Sorry, Chip. You followed a funny comment with an unfunny comment. So they approved it. This will go forward to the conversation. We'll see what happens. But I kind of like the pelican as a state bird. I mean, that would be very convenient for state fishing bird. That would be very convenient for us here because it would fit all the pelicans we got everywhere. And I actually like the flamingo too. You know, if we're going to do multiple birds, and then you ask, well, why not more birds? You know, how many birds do you have to have? I don't, okay. So I appreciate Alex standing up for the panhandle. I also think that if you did have to survey, you know, all 3 million of us in Florida, probably the flamingo would win this popularity contest. Pink and flaming, though it is. 6:49 here on News Radio 92.3. It may be because of that. 6:43 here on News Radio 92.3. 6:49 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you're considering getting your next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are 1 to 3 or maybe 4 years young, 10 to maybe 40,000 miles. They warranty everything to 10 years or 100,000 miles, so you don't have to worry about that. They don't sell really old cars. They don't sell really low-value cars. They sell cars that are, you're basically, if you want to buy a new car, but you do not want to have to pay for a brand new car. That's what they sell, okay? We got our Honda Odyssey. It was a year old with like, I always forget, it was 12 or 13,000 miles, but it was right in that vicinity. It had come back to an Orlando dealership after a lease. They couldn't sell it in 90 days. They had a policy that everything goes to auction after 90 days. It went to auction. Frontier bought it. They sold it to me at a great price, and we got an outstanding car that we've been driving ever since. And they followed up with me 6 months later, a year later, to make sure everything was fine. I've told the story many times, but one of the physical keys didn't work. They fixed it on them, no cost. Like, they reached out to me to make sure there was nothing wrong with the car I bought from them a year ago. Who does that as a used car dealer? Well, they do, Frontier, because they're trying to sell you good quality products and then make sure you like them so much that you want to come back again and again. And certainly, you know, I will. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
This holiday season, whether you're shopping for clients, coworkers, or loved ones, Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze makes gift-giving easy and memorable. From custom apparel and drinkware to unique holiday gifts and decor, you'll find the perfect way to show your appreciation and spread cheer. Make your gifts stand out with personal touches and professional quality, all from your local experts at Prim and Proper. Visit them at 336 Gulf Breeze Parkway or primandproper.com.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. PenAir Credit Union's high-yield checking? 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts, and 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA, PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. There are now over 150,000 lawyers in the state of Florida. However, less than 1,000 are board-certified civil trial lawyers. I am proud to say that I have been board-certified since 1993. If you need help with any injury case, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income, Financial security is about more than investments. Robert's Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Robert's Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Hi, I'm Steve Taylor, and I usually hang out in the newsroom at News Radio 92.3. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
Thanks. Lieutenant, what were you doing there?
Communicating. Keeping up foreign relations. I was, giving him the bird.
You know, the finger.
Yes, I know the finger, Goose.
I'm sorry. I hate it when it does that. I'm sorry.
We're getting all kinds of suggestions in here about the state bird and the whole conversation that was had in the Subcommittee on Natural Disasters yesterday about this, that, Alex Andrade kind of raised some questions about why the flamingo when they don't live in Northwest Florida, but we do have pelicans. Maybe that could be. Somebody says it's always been the mockingbird. Yeah, for like 98 years, actually. One of the legislators who was trying to defend the mockingbird said, can we at least acknowledge the historical, mockingbird designation? Somebody says, why waste taxpayer money having these ridiculous meetings? Do something constructive. I'd say most of the meetings are substantial, and they have time for this kind of nonsense. How about the osprey? Yeah, good idea. Why not a hunting bird? And not just a fishing bird. Somebody says they ran afoul of the problem. Good one. The great blue heron. Oh, yeah. And, okay, so pelicans are everywhere in the state. I'm assuming the heron's also everywhere in the state. It's not just a southern state bird. That's kind of an interesting one. Somebody else just says, I'm picking up all of your puns, Andrew. Good. Let's see. I've been listening to this show since I moved here 9 years ago. I feel like they've been arguing and talking about this the whole time. Yes, they have. You're right. Every year. This is a thing. It's such a passion project for some of these folks. And somebody says, what about the Fred Bird? I kind of like that. All right, 644 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. An investigation is underway after an Air Force Thunderbirds F-16 fighter jet crashed in California yesterday. It happened in the Southern California desert. Now, the good news, the pilot safely ejecting from the aircraft during that training mission. And the pilot is being treated for non-life-threatening injuries. The crash happened over controlled airspace north of Los Angeles.
Yeah, and if the reporting is right, I have not seen official reports that it was number 5, the lead solo. The same numbers apply in their team like the Blue Angels. It would be Major Jeff Downey, which is, he'd be the person that's in the hospital right now, or at least being looked at anyway, if those reports are correct, and if he would have been the one flying the 5 jet at the time.
Right. The Powerball jackpot is climbing again. There was no winner in the jackpot for last night's drawing. There was a $1 million ticket sold in Florida. It was not mine. That's why I'm here today.
All right. Would a million take you out of the workforce?
Oh, you'd come close.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Probably not. I doubt it.
A million just doesn't go as far as it used
to. No, not really. Not really. All right. Hear me out here. A seal walks into a bar in New Zealand.
I'm listening.
Okay, so it happened at the Sprig and Fern, an actual bar in New Zealand.
My favorite bar in Auckland. Yeah.
The animal then hid under the dishwasher and was ultimately lured out with the kitchen's special for the day, salmon. Conservation rangers showed up and said it was their fourth seal call of the day in that area. They safely captured the animal and released it nearby.
You've taught it to do this again.
Pretty much.
You've rewarded it with the salmon. Also, how does a seal fit? Where'd you say? Under the dishwasher?
Under the dishwasher,
How does a seal get under a dishwasher? I guess commercial dishwashers are a little bit different, so.
They must. I've got a little gap under mine. I don't think I can
fit a seal. Seal's a little bit larger than that. Yeah. All right, David. Very good. I do appreciate that. So here's a clap for you. I don't know. Anyway, I apologize immediately for that joke. Let's see. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash East 9 Mile at North Davis Highway. They're saying the roadway is open. Also, a vehicle crash Community Drive at Ferris in Pensacola. There's a roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. You got a kid who's in school struggling with math. Now, it might be. They've never done great at math. And, of course, it's hard to enjoy something you're not good at, right? Okay? And they should be good at it. They should enjoy it. But it could be also that they were pretty good and then maybe, things got difficult. This is a real common thing to happen when you transition to algebra or to some of the more advanced maths. But the point is, any kid can be taught to learn, to be proficient at, and to enjoy math. And they do this at Mathnasium over and over and over again for children because, look, teaching math is complicated. It is not so easy to do. And, you know, some teachers are good at it, some teachers are not great at it. Okay? That's just the truth of it. So if your student is struggling with math, that can be fixed. Go in for a free assessment. Okay, the test is easy, and not easy, but it's free. There's no obligation of that. And they will figure out what components, what skills, what comprehension pieces are missing, and then they'll talk to you about a plan to, you know, fix that, okay, to remediate that. And, I mean, they're so good at that. My son taught at Mathnasium for about a year. We're dear friends with the owners. I really believe in what they're doing. It's a great program. They also take step-up money, you know, so that's something that's available as well. Mathnasium is located in the Marshalls, or next to the Marshalls in the Fresh Market Shopping Center, northwest corner of 9th and Airport. You can just stop in. 94% of parents report an improvement in their child's math skills and understanding. 90% of students see an improvement in their school grades. So go in for your free assessment and then find out from there what you need to do. 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm just going to throw this out there because I don't want to dwell too much on it, but reporting it within the last week indicates that in Canada, you know how in Canada they have socialized medicine, which they have in, you know, a lot of places. And generally speaking, the trade-off is it's cheaper but worse. Okay, that's true in Britain, that's true in Canada, that's true across, you know, our system is terribly expensive, but it's better. It has its flaws, but this is not one of them. In this particular case, in Canada, between April of 2024 and March of 2025, so over a one-year period, patients who were waiting for care because there's scarcity, because it's managed care, because there's, you know, not enough doctors and not enough hospitals and not enough of anything because it's triaged and you have to wait for things, like instead of being able to go for the MRI, you know, today, you go in 6 weeks. That's normal. And while people were waiting for care, 23,746 died. Almost 24,000 Canadians died while waiting for limited medical care and availability in Canada. Since 2018, the wait list death is up to 100,000 Canadians. So maybe before you
listen,
argue for socialized medicine.
92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
A Navy admiral deployed to Capitol Hill. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. And lawmakers in House and Senate private briefings will ask Mitch Bradley about a controversial attack he ordered in September and the ongoing operation off the Venezuelan coast that's blown up more than 20 boats suspected of illegal drug trafficking, killing dozens of alleged narco-terrorists.
War Secretary Pete Hegseth says he saw that first strike live, but was not informed of the follow-on strike until hours later that killed the initial two survivors. The New York Times reports Hegseth and the Pentagon had planned for this contingency, quote, the military would attempt to rescue survivors who appear to be helpless, shipwrecked, or out of what the administration considers a fight. But it would try again to kill them if they took what the United States deemed to be a hostile action.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. While Secretary Hegseth is in the middle of that, an inspector general's report comes out today on a controversy from months ago. The Signal group chat where Hegseth discussed military strikes on Houthi militants in Yemen. A Hegseth spokesperson says the report exonerates him that he did not break the law sharing classified information. But Fox's Jennifer Griffin reports that IG
concluded Secretary Pete Hegseth, quote, created risk to operational security and his actions sharing operational details before the strike was complete on the commercially available app Signal, quote, could have resulted in failed U.S. mission objectives and potential harm to U.S. pilots.
It's confirmed in Israel. Another dead hostage returned by Hamas.
So Tisak Rintalak from Thailand was killed during the massacre by Hamas in southern